You're listening to the Attract and Stand Out podcast, created for ambitious, heart-centered entrepreneurs who want to build real relationships, influence others, and make an impact with everyone they meet. I'm your host, Darlene Holly, and I'm a mom of four, a wife, a storyteller, dream builder, and a personal branding and business coach. On the show, you'll hear real conversations about what it means to run your own business, what success actually looks like, and how you can overcome obstacles that get in your way. We're growing businesses with less hustle and more ease, transforming your mindset and inspiring you to get moving and to follow your dreams. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Hey friends, welcome back. Are you ready to create a profitable service-based personal brand and business? Download my brand new workbook and you'll learn my signature six-step process to create a successful business with less hustle and more ease. It's got easy action steps ready to implement into your business immediately so that you can start creating a business that you love. Head over to bit.ly/attractandstandoutonline to download your workbook today.
Hi, welcome to my mom's podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Attract and Standout podcast. I'm your host, Darlene Holly, and I am so excited to be back. And I have with me today Siobhan Davenport, and I am so excited to hear her story because she is the president and CEO of a nonprofit organization called Critten Ton. Did I say it right? I think I did.
Yes, you did.
Perfect. Critten Ton. And I was looking at your website before we hopped on the call today. And I'm just so excited to dive into this conversation, Siobhan, and hear a little bit about you and your story, and then also how you came into becoming the CEO and president of this amazing nonprofit group where you are out there empowering girls to do amazing things, which totally lights my heart up. I'm a mama of four, but I only have one daughter, and watching her grow and seeing who she's turning into and helping mold this next generation of leaders and women is so dear and near to my heart. So I'm thrilled to have you here, Siobhan. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Darlene. It's such a pleasure to be here to share passion of mine. I'm also a mother. I have a 17-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old son. So the mission of Critten Ton, to empower teen girls to make positive choices and set amazing and smart goals for themselves and achieve their own dreams and goals is something that I feel very strongly about on a personal level, but of course a professional level. So Critten Ton serves 700 teen girls in the Washington metropolitan area from middle through high school. And in my role, it's just incredible to see young ladies from under-resourced communities, because we're very targeted in the schools in which we provide our services, and to see young ladies from under-resourced resources that may get in this grade, and she will share with us, oh, I don't know anything about college, it's not important to me, and you know, I don't really care. Sixth grade, after she's been meeting with us weekly with her program leader, who's been trained in social emotional learning practices, positive use, developed trauma-informed care, she suddenly says, guess what? I love the idea of going to college, and I want to be, and she fills in the blank, I'm going to do better in school, and we'll see her grade tests and her attendance level increase as the year goes on. And at the end, she tells us, I can't wait to go to college, and I'm so engaged in school, and I'm just excited for my future. So that's what we do for our young ladies. To share a little bit about my story, I often say I could be a Critten Ton girl. I grew up with my grandmother, actually. My parents were teen parents, and I very fortunate they decided that they could not take on the responsibility of raising a child. So my grandmother brought me home from the hospital and raised me as her child. Yeah. So I often say that she was my first program leader. So just as our program leaders, develop such a strong bond with our young ladies and become an entrusted adult in their lives, that's what my grandmother did. And so she instilled in me that I could achieve and accomplish anything that I set my mind to. She provided the support. She actually formed, our ecosystem. So my ecosystem was made up of not just relatives, but close friends, church members, my teachers, etc. So she really was very intentional about forming a very strong ecosystem around me. And that I just always thought, I'm going to college, I'm getting a degree, I'm going to be a professional, I'm going to give back in some way. The other role that my grandmother played for me was a philanthropic role. I had no idea what philanthropy was, but she modeled that. Grew up in a small town in North Carolina, and she would make meals for those who were sick and shut in. She would drive elderly people to their doctor's appointments, or, go pick up groceries for someone from the grocery store. And I got to tag along. So I saw what it meant to give back to community in the way that you could and felt comfortable to you, and what it meant to be a good citizen. So I just always marvel at what she was able to instill in me, and was very intentional about it as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love hearing that grandma just was there for you and took so much care of you. And she's while you were talking, I was seeing this beautiful through thread line of how you were raised and how that's transpired and brought you and turned you into the woman that you are today, and how you're giving back. And I so often look back at people's stories, and it's amazing to me to see how we go from, being young and just learning and taking in life, and seeing how those things that impact us so much in our younger days, show up such in a beautiful, big way as we become adults and we find our passion and how we want to show up and serve. And I love to see those little connection pieces. So I can see it. Your grandma led you through so many amazing conversations and brought you to where you are today, which is so fun to see the turn shift from that. I'm a grandma's girl myself. I was really close with my grandparents, both my grandma and my grandfather on my mom's side. They were very active and involved in my life especially when I was younger. And so many of the pieces that I feel bring me out today are because of them, their influence and their encouragement and the motivation, and seeing things through past generations' eyes and what they learned, but what they also learned from the generation prior to them that they wanted to instill into me. And I see that even now with my daughter and with my sons as well. But knowing that we take the good and we mold and shift and we, up level every single time based off of those teachings that we are brought from them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Grandmothers have a very, very special place in my heart.
Yeah. Me too. I love it. So tell me a little bit about the transition. So I know that you're running this nonprofit now and you're doing amazing work in the community. Was that kind of how you started out? When you went to college and did those things? I'm assuming you went to college because grandma taught you to go to college. And that was a big part. But was that what you initially thought you were going to be doing? Or did you have a different plan in the beginning?
Oh, well, and I would like to share that I am the first on my grandmother's side of the family to graduate from college and obtain a master's degree. So how did I get here? Oh my goodness. I wish I could just say, yes, I knew from a young age and I just went on this straight trajectory.
If only it was that easy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what I will say, another thing that shaped me and the professional choice that I've made is that my senior year of high school, I actually interned at a foundation. And at that point, I had no idea about foundations and the work they could do and how impactful they could be to the community. And the foundation was rather small. So there was only one program officer. There was the head of the organization, and then the office manager. And then there was me, the intern. So I got to go out with the program officer and just meet incredible people doing impactful work in so many ways. I went to a homeless women's shelter where women had been battered and had to leave their homes, really the clothes on their back. I had to visit a therapeutic horse riding center where children and young adults with mental and physical disabilities would come in, and you could just see faces light up and when they were with the horses and being able to get on these horses and being, you know, somewhat mobile. I got to visit performing arts programs where I would see young children expressing themselves in ways that they may not have been able to coming from an under-resourced community. So it was just a kaleidoscope of amazing work, amazing people. So that always left an impression on me until I saw salary that an entry-level nonprofit employee gets. Yeah. And I had college loans, right? So my grandmother was, you know, a child of the Depression. So when she was actually, she was born at the end of the Depression. So her family felt those ramifications for many years. So she was very practical. So she says, oh, well, you should become a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant. And so I wasn't interested in medicine, wasn't sure if I really wanted a law degree. And I was like, well, I don't know about this accounting thing. But I ended up being a business major, and because I had a creative side to me. So I ended up majoring in marketing. And I thought, maybe I'll go into sales because I just have a bachelor's and that's a real good step. And what I found was that I worked for a food service company. And at this time, I'm really dating myself. We had pagers. So my pager would go off. I'd have to find a payphone. I love telling the story to my children, by the way. They're like, what's
a payphone? Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, so my pager goes off, I'm out in the field, I have to quickly find a payphone. I call back, and their big emergency was that the delivery truck came and they don't have ketchup and the lunch crowd is coming in an hour. So I would have to race back to the warehouse, you know, call it in, race to the warehouse, load up my car and race to get this to the restaurant. And I thought, this isn't really fulfilling to me. And so, but I still wasn't ready to make that jump into human services. So I ended up, so funny. So I end up on Wall Street, still working in marketing and helping very wealthy individuals become even wealthier individuals. And I thought, geez, there's gotta be something else. This is great, but I want to give back. I want to make an impact. And so now that I'm telling you the story, I just can't even believe all these paths. So I ended up going back to graduate school and I thought about storytelling because I've always loved that. So when you shared with me your love of storytelling and how you utilize that to make this incredible podcast, it just spoke to me deeply. So I ended up getting a master's in journalism. And so now I finally landed where I should be. And I ended up working for a documentary company and it was a production company. It was great. And we would put these different documentaries about the economy and the air in the Washington, D.C. area and how it was changing and there was more technology coming in and how it was going to really help the Washington area thrive. And so in that work, I had an opportunity to help with a family foundation. It was a connection that I had. And it was a gentleman who had was a wealthy entrepreneur. He wanted to give back, but he wasn't, you know, he didn't have the time to do it. He was running his organization. And that's when I was like, finally, I've landed exactly where I want to be. This is what's making my heart sing. So he was And when he decided to retire, he wanted to spend more time on the West Coast. His family decided that they would spin down the foundation. And Crittenden Services is one of the organizations that I had worked with. I had helped them with some strategic partnerships, which turned into one of their biggest grants at the time. And I just got a little bit deeper and deeper into the organization. So I attended events, met our incredible, incredible teen girls. And so when I was looking to transition, the previous ED and I had a conversation and she says, well, I'm thinking about retiring. What would you think, Crittenton? And I thought, well, this could be interesting. So as I always tell everyone, be very careful, because once you get connected to yourself running the organization. So this is, I've been here now for a little more than 3 years, and it has been an incredible journey, especially during a pandemic.
Oh, I can only imagine. The pandemic thrown in the mix of everything always makes it a little extra, extra fun. I just love like hearing the journey though, like of so often I feel like we, you know, we have to try different things. We have to put ourselves out there and see what's going to work, what we love, what we're passionate about. And we have times where we're like, we're running catch up, and I love catch up, but yeah, I can see how that's not like making a big impact in the world. It's not like doing anything, you know, where most of us, especially I feel like as entrepreneurs, as we like really start to find ourselves and doing the work that we're passionate about, it's about being a change maker and finding ways to give back. And yeah, we want to make money, but we also want to give back to our community and be involved and, you know, help the future leaders and the next generation do the work that they're doing. So it's so common. I feel like that we try all these different things and we're like, nope, not this one. Nope, not this one. And then finally we're like, oh, we found the one that we're supposed to do. And sometimes it comes in unique offerings. Like it's not where you expect it to come from. Like I love that, you know, the leader that you were talking about, like she took you under her wing and was like, let's go do this other thing. Like, forget this. Let's try something that's gonna, you know, light us up and inspire us. And she still had more she wanted to give, I'm assuming. She's like, there's still more. There's more impact to be made out in the world.
Absolutely. So yes, absolutely.
So when you think about the work that you're doing today, like what is the piece that just like lights your soul up and makes it so special and powerful for how you're serving these girls in your community? Like what's the big piece of it for you?
The big piece for me is being in a position to support, as you said, our future leaders. And the young ladies who are just going to launch into the world and really make a difference. When I started, our current seniors were sophomores. And so I almost feel like I'm graduating with them. It's, you know, it's bittersweet to see them leave our programs and launch and do just incredible and amazing things. But I think having that opportunity to spend time with our girls, as the leader, I don't always get to do that. I try to visit, well, pre-COVID, tried to visit our programs. We had in-person events, so I got a chance to know some of our young ladies. And so being at the forefront and listening, being an active listener. You know, often I'm the mother of teenagers. And so often teenagers can be, you know, they can shut down a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And so with our teen, just a little bit, right? But with our teen girls, what I found is that, you know, even though they don't see me on a weekly basis, making that connection and just sitting down and letting them share whatever it is that they like to share, it's a very special moment. And that fortifies me to do the work that I'm doing. When I get to talk to funders and I can share stories, like one of our seniors told me, she said, Ms. Siobhan, you're going to be so proud of me. I don't talk back to my teachers anymore. And so I said, yes, I am so proud of you. I said, you know, sometimes like maybe somebody is having a bad day or the teacher, you know, yells at you, see, you know, movement in the corner. And they think it's you, but it's not you. And I said, you know, always stand up for yourself, but I'm glad that you're not, you know, getting into arguments. She's a leader. She's such a wonderful leader. And yeah. I said, I'm glad you're not getting in arguments with your teachers, but you know, you're showing leadership by showing restraint. Of it that way, she goes, I just knew you were going to be proud of me. And I said, you know what? I am so proud of you. Yeah. So it's having those moments where the girls feel that they a safe space. They have that with their program leaders and the groups that are formed. But when I step into the picture, I also present another adult who cares and who will meet the girls where they are without judgment, and can shed some, you know, some wisdom that I've learned along the way. And I find that that's what really fortifies me to do this amazing work.
Yeah. And you just gave me chills while you were talking about it. Cause the impact of these young women who, you know, I know oftentimes they don't have the support they need sometimes at home, and to have, you know, strong women who are stepping in and being that role model, and for her to come and just be like, you know, you're going to be so proud of me. Like she looks like the mentor relationship piece that comes with that is just so powerful, that they know someone's going to believe that they can do it, and that they have, you know, somebody who's celebrating and cheering them on, even when it's not easy and hard, or even when it's not easy and it is hard.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and the data shows that just having that one caring adult in a child can certainly help change the trajectory of this child's possibilities. And I think that's what's so special about the program, is that we disrupt those negative thought patterns, those limited beliefs, and we show our young ladies that, yes, you can be and do anything you'd like, but let's be smart about it. Let's set some smart goals. Let's talk about relationship building with your, you know, your caregivers, your parents, your siblings, with your friends. What is it like to go into the workplace and show up and be your authentic self, but also to be, you know, a contributing employee in that workplace? So it's really helping the girls, just getting them the tools in their toolkit to be successful. And it's having, like, you know, that caring adult that can just open up so many possibilities career-wise, things the girls thought, oh, I never thought I could do that. Well, guess what? You can have a career in STEM. And we introduce different careers to them as well. So it's really disrupting a lot of those negative, limiting beliefs and giving the girls a sense of possibility, but the tools to achieve those goals.
Yeah. And I know one of the things that I struggle with all the time has always been like the confidence piece. You know, like I've been an entrepreneur now for 16 years, and I was in retail management for a good 10, 12 years before that. And then like, it's always one of those things I feel like as women, like we have to focus on like that mindset, that inner critic can sometimes show its ugly head in like the most unwanted times, right? Where we're striving for greatness. We're doing these things. And then we have that little, I always envision it like the little devil on one side and like the angel on the other, like, you know, cheerleading me on, or kind of like the inner critic, you know, telling me I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy enough, or I can't do these things. And it's something that, you know, I'm still working on as, you know, a woman in my 40s. And I'm, you know, I feel like entrepreneurship has been like the best personal development tool I could have ever done, because it's given me the skills to increase that confidence and buff up that muscle and know that some days I'm going to, you know, be down, but how do I start to coach myself and, you know, lift myself back up in those moments? And if I wouldn't have done the research, if I wouldn't have had the books, if I wouldn't have, you know, had mentors and people that I was, you know, looking towards to help keep me going constantly, like it's definitely something that we can drop into. So I love that, like the support that your organization is able to provide for these girls, just to be able to buff up those muscles. And like you said, like they have different tools and resources that they can go to strengthen those places, because, you know, our minds can go on a random tangent whenever they want to. And even like the society and, you know, our upbringing and the people that we're surrounded with sometimes can push us down, and just gifting these girls with tools and support and things that can help lift them up. Is there any specific tools or things that you think that you guys do in your organization that really is like a key piece to helping shift their mindset and keep them focused and on track to do these amazing things that they're doing as they become young women?
Absolutely. I think one of the key aspects of the program is that we provide, and I alluded to this, but I'm going to go a little bit deeper. We provide a safe space for our young ladies, and we meet them where they are. And one of the things that our young ladies tell us, we have over 10 years of independent evaluations, is that they don't feel judged. This is the one place where they're not judged. And they often say adults will look at them funny if they're on, you know, riding public transportation or whatever have you. The majority of our girls are Black and brown. So there are a lot of stereotypes that they have to overcome. And so, so I think by first creating that safe space, then we can do the work to do, to lift up and build their confidence. Girls will often tell us share with their parents and caregivers. A third of our young ladies are come from immigrant families. And so when you think about some of the family sacrifices that they had to make to leave their country and come set up a new life, when their teenage daughter says, "I'm stressed because of all the schoolwork I have," sometimes parents can be a little bit dismissive of that and don't want to hear it. Like, you know, we've sacrificed everything and you're worried about schoolwork. Go sit down and do your schoolwork.
Figure it out.
Exactly, figure it out. So by creating that space where girls can come in and talk about anything from, you know, schoolwork, trouble in relationships, whether it's romantic or friendships, even trouble with their parents, they can, and we get into some very deep conversations. Girls, once they feel comfortable, may talk about being molested, or they may talk about some abuse that they've had in a romantic relationship or are experiencing in a romantic relationship. So it's really key that once you have their trust and they have this safe space where they can now start to rear their authentic selves, then we can meet them where they are to start building them up, changing mindsets, giving them positive affirmations. Again, a big part of our program is setting SMART goals, and we help the girls break them down into, you know, smaller accomplishments, and we celebrate that. And then the girls themselves hold each other accountable. So if you say one of our students, for example, which was so hard to believe, this is only 2 years ago, and I'm sharing her ethnicity because it was important. She's a Latina. And she went to her school counselor and wanted to take AP English her junior year. And her school counselor said, "That's not for you. You know, you just take the, you know, our regular English offerings." No explanation. No, "Oh, let's test you." Nothing. Let's look at your, "Oh yes, you have all A's." And she did. "You have all A's in, you know, your freshman and sophomore year. You should be a candidate for an AP English class. So, but what I was so proud of our young lady is that she said, "Because I learned that my voice matters and I learned how to advocate for myself," she said, "I went home, told my mom, and we went back to the school together and we met with the vice principal. And I got into my AP class," and the young ladies in her group, yes, there were some of them who were already in AP English. So when she shared with them, "You can do this. I'm in AP English. You know, this is what we're doing. You're capable of doing this work." So she on her own did all of this. Yes, she did get into AP English, and yes, she did get an A. So these are the kinds of, you know, that skill set, that confidence that we we call it a sacred sister circle, that their sisters help reinforce with our young ladies that they can now learn to advocate for themselves.
Yeah. Such a powerful story. Like to teach her to just like when she knew she had a voice and her voice was allowed to be heard and that she could advocate for herself and go out there and like stand up for herself, like such a powerful thing to get, you know, this next generation of women just to start. Like, that's like I feel like we're at a place where it's like the turning curve, like where we're seeing so much more of that. Because I know even when I was, you know, in high school, like it was hard to speak up and use my voice. And I didn't know if anybody would listen or if anybody would care or, you know, how to do it in so many ways. And, you know, as a leadership coach and, you know, going in and working with, you know, leaders for speaking up and using their voice and making an impact. And like, whether it's negotiating, you know, hard conversations, or it's, you know, just asking for a raise or asking for what they want, or, you know, even a sales conversation to get someone to say yes for, you know, what they're offering. Like it seems like it takes so much power and strength And the women now are like really stepping into that. And it's such a beautiful thing to see, like when we can ask for what we want and know that we're worthy and that we're putting ourselves in a position to say, like, you're not holding me back. Like the glass ceiling is not going to like, you know, keep me in this box. I'm able to, you know, go where I want to go and say what I want to say and not worry who's listening, knowing that the right people at the right time are going to hear it. It's so powerful. I just love that story.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We have a leadership summit that we do every year. And, you know, we were back in person after 2 years this past April.
Yeah.
And it's just our motto is "My voice matters." Yeah. And so we used to spend an entire weekend. We just did a full day of training and advocacy training and helping girls understand that as an individual, your voice does matter. It makes a difference. And then collectively, of course, it's extremely powerful, but we yeah. really try to instill that in them. Because as you said, I think we're really learning how to be comfortable in leadership
yeah.
and not let those negative voices or imposter syndrome prevent us from stepping up and into leadership roles. So it's important for us to, I'm a little bit older than you are, so it's important for us to model that for our young ladies coming behind us. And I have to say, our ladies are leading the way. They've been out on the front lines with Black Lives Matter, racial equity. Before that, our young ladies organized themselves and went down to the Supreme Court to march on about DACA, Dreamers. And so it's been pretty incredible ride for me
yeah.
to see these young ladies step in regardless of that they and their families faced during the pandemic, they still stepped up and utilize their voices to make a difference in their communities.
Yeah. And it's accredited to like an amazing organizations like the one that you're leading, because there's a lot of organizations like similar to yours in my city where I live in Southern California. And I see the work that they're doing with these girls and the power it gives them just to go out there and, you know that they can achieve whatever it is that they're trying to do. They're speaking up, they're standing out, they're making an impact, and they're changing the world day by day, step by step. And that's all we can ask from this next generation is like that we just do that next level piece to make an impact and to really, you know, have those voices heard. Siobhan, this has been such a fun conversation and I want to keep talking, but I'm going to start to round us up here in a second. But before I take us to rapid fire questions, what would you say like for yourself, if you were to like go back and talk to Siobhan when she was, I don't know, in her early 20s, just kind of starting her career and finding her footing in life, what's like one thing that you wish you would have known then that has been so powerful and how you've become a leader today?
Oh, I love that question. There's so many things I would tell my 20-something year old self just starting out. I think the most important thing would be to trust myself and not look for validation from other people. I think that when you can step into your own authentic self, your own power, you don't need other people to grant you permission to do anything at that point. And so that's the one thing I tell my 20-something year old self, just take some chances, do different things, and you don't need permission to do that.
Yes. So powerful and such good words to continue to live by. But yeah, I would agree. Like that's some of the same conversations I have with myself is just trusting my gut and knowing that I'm going to make the right choice and staying out of my head sometimes, but like dropping to like, just go with my gut, like trust my intuition, know that I'm going to do this right. I can definitely relate to that. Well, Siobhan, as we go into rapid fire questions, I just have a few fun questions just to kind of get to know you on a personal level a little bit more. If you were to need to like reset, reflect, and recharge, what do you like to do or where do you like to go for that?
Where my dream to reflect and recharge is always by a body of water. So I envy you being in Southern California, so beautiful down there, or over there rather. So a beach with a wonderful book, that's how I like to recharge.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm still about 45 to 55 minutes away from the ocean if there's no traffic, which I know you can relate to traffic.
yes, I can.
But definitely the beach is a perfect spot. So I love that. That's like, if you can't get to the beach, is there anything like you do just in your own backyard or at home?
You know, yes, there is actually. And it's because of the pandemic when everything closed, I started walking. And so I never explored my own neighborhood because, you know, I was driving in, driving out and just never had time. And so I have kept kept my walking routine. And I find if I'm feeling stressed or a little bit overwhelmed, I just go take a walk and get out in nature. And it's just been so therapeutic for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Walking's beautiful. I love doing that one as well. And my next question for you is, are you binge watching anything on TV, or do you have a book that you're devouring at the moment, or what do you like to do with your downtime?
Oh my goodness. I am laughing because, you know, I never considered myself a binge watcher, but I got into Emily in Paris and I had to binge watch that show. And my daughter's like, "Mom, why are you watching it?" I'm like, "Oh, it's just shot so beautifully." And I had an opportunity to visit Paris, and I'm like, "Oh, I just can't wait to go back." And, you know, it's fun. It's lifting. It's silly. I'm so out of that age group. She's like in her 20s and having all of these wonderful adventures in the city of Paris. But that is a guilty pleasure of mine.
Perfect. There's nothing better. Can't wait for the next. Yeah, there's nothing better than like living vicariously through a character on TV. And you're just like, "Oh, this is so fun. Like, I feel like I'm on the adventure with you, even though I'm sitting here on my couch, snuggled up with a blanket."
Exactly.
Totally.
So true. So true.
And then I think you might've already alluded to this, but I'm going to ask the question anyways. Who would you say has made the biggest impact in your life? And it could be someone famous, or it could be somebody that you know, but like, who's that like biggest influencer that's made Siobhan who she is today?
You know, obviously I already talked about my grandmother, who's near and dear to my heart, but I'm going to open it up a little bit. My favorite author is Maya Angelou. And when I was a young girl, I read her autobiography, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. And it just made such an incredible impact on me. And really my life. One thing I do like to do is write. So I've been writing more and more. That's a way for me to relax. And I shared that I have a creative side. And so writing is one of my creative outlets.
I love that. Beautiful. And I'm going to ask you one last question. And maybe I could do this, but maybe I couldn't. But if I could give you a plane ticket and you could go anywhere in the world right now, where would you want to travel to and why?
Oh, that's always a good question, especially as we're opening back up.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think, because there's a couple, obviously these are hard questions, all these things that come to mind at the same time, but they're fun. I love it. I would say that I went to Bali for my honeymoon, and my husband and I always said, "Oh, at our fifth year anniversary, we're going back." Well, we're like 22 years in, we have not gone back. So if you gave me a plane ticket, I'm there, Bali, Indonesia.
Okay. Perfect. Sounds heavenly. I'm packing my suitcase with you. We'll make it an adventure. Let's go.
Yes.
Siobhan, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's been just such an honor to hear your story and see and hear your passion for, you know, our next generation of, you know, young women leaders and the amazing work that you're doing. I can just see the passion, and I know that is infusing so much into these young ladies. So thank you for being on the podcast and sharing your story. I know people are going to want to connect with you. Where do you like to hang out? Where should we go?
Oh, yes. Well, I'd love for you to hang out with our website, crittentonservices.org. We have a wonderful event coming up. It's our annual celebration, the 134th. I guess I should have shared how old our organization is. It's 134 years. It's on November 10th. And we would love to have anyone listening to the podcast to enjoy it. It's a jazz extravaganza where we get to honor some really incredible people who support girls and their empowerment.
Amazing. Definitely. We'll check that out. And then I know that you mentioned like your organization's a nonprofit as well. And I know that you're always looking to bring more people and get more involved. Can you tell us a little bit about your volunteer opportunities so that if somebody's like, oh my gosh, like I need to be involved with this, like what do I do next? Can you share that with us?
Absolutely. We're always looking for, I'm a little bit biased, but we're always looking for women who are just doing incredible things in the world to come and speak with our young ladies. It's so helpful for them to be able to expand their possibilities and know that there's these incredible careers that maybe they did not know about, but now that they know, they have access to it. So we're always looking for volunteers for that and for any of our events as well.
Awesome. Beautiful. Well, definitely check out Siobhan and the Crittenton. Yes. If I said it right, why can't I say these things right?
Yes, you did. Crittenton.
Crittenton. Check out the organization. Definitely get involved if this is calling on your heart and you're just looking for a place to serve and give back and, you know, help raise up this next generation of young women. Siobhan, thank you so much for being here, sharing your passion, sharing your heart and your soul. It's such a pleasure to meet you. And I look forward to us continuing our conversations and seeing where life takes us.
Darling, for having me. It was a pleasure to meet you and to share a little bit about what I'm so passionate about.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Siobhan. All right, everybody. That's another wrap of the Attract and Stand Out podcast. We will see you again next week. Have an amazing day and we'll talk to you soon. Oh, and don't forget that I believe in you. You're allowed to stand out. You're allowed to shine. You're allowed to be you. We'll see you next time. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. If you love the show, leave a review and subscribe on whichever platform you're listening on. It would mean the world to me. As a special thank you, I want to offer you a free gift, my Uncover Your Niche workbook and video training that helps you become unforgettable to your audience. You can sign up at darlenehawley.com. I look forward to seeing you all next week. In the meantime, have an amazing week and we will talk soon. Hey friends, welcome back. Are you ready to create a profitable service-based personal brand and business? Download my brand new workbook and you'll learn my signature 6-step process to create a successful business with less hustle and more ease. It's got easy action steps ready to implement into your business immediately so that you can start creating a business that you love. Head over to bit.ly/attractandstandoutonline to download your workbook today.